The reading is from Psalm 47, 1 to 9. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. For the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God, sing praises, sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham, for the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted.
Well, good morning, church. It's lovely to join together, isn't it, and worship the Lord. And what a lovely time of worship we've had. I also noticed as we going through the service that one by one, Paul and the worship team and anyone else who spoke at all started preaching my message for me. So I'm very grateful. That means I can sit down and have a cup of tea and you can do what you like. I don't care. But it's wonderful. Worship. What a wonderful thing. As I was preparing for this, I'll just make sure this is... You know me and this don't get on. Right, I think we're on. Can I have my...
It's on behind you.
Oh, it is behind me. Right. Okay, that one's not on. Handy, I can't. I have a blank screen. I'm looking blank. That's great. Thank you. That's lovely. I can see where we are now. I've been asked, of course, to continue our series about being chosen, how God has chosen us. And one of the wonderful things we can do as God's chosen people is to worship him. And why wouldn't we worship someone who's chosen us? Now, I don't know whether you chose Wilma or Wilma chose you, but something happened, and now you love each other, and that's absolutely great. And that's how it is with God. But as I was... thank you, it's on here. As I was preparing for this, and... what's your name? Paul. That's right. Paul mentioned this just a moment ago, so I thought, there goes my message again, you know. You don't need me after all. But one of the things Paul mentioned is the fact that people, there might be someone here who feels unworthy. And I've written on my notes, I sense that some of you may be struggling with the idea that God has chosen you. So I think there's a theme there, Paul. I think we might just about be listening. Absolutely. The Holy Spirit is moving. And that's a concern. This whole series has been entitled Chosen. And I just sense that some of you are struggling, feeling, how can I be chosen? I'm not good enough. I'm not clever enough. I'm not this, that, and the other. I get things wrong. Join the club. It's a very, very large one. In fact, it's the largest one in the world. Just absolutely enjoy getting things wrong, because it will happen. And you may feel at times a little bit judged by feeling not worthy. And so you come here and we have this lovely series of Chosen. You think, but I can't be. Not me. Not possibly. So I want to share with you a quick testimony before we really get going on this. Some of you have heard this before, so apologies. Some of you are not, but I just sensed it was right to share this. In the natural, I'm adopted. And I got adopted by the fact that my parents, new parents, came along to the children's home where I was living at the time. I was about four when they came. And they came and they were invited to come into the room where all the children were and choose someone they might be interested in. And so they walked in and chose me. And I said to them, I said, well, of all the children that were in that room, why did you choose me? Perhaps it was because I was the best looking child. No, they said, that's not right at all. So I said, well, perhaps you could see within my four-year-old body great intelligence, great passion, great love. No, it wasn't that either. So I said, well, perhaps you could see in me the potential of a world leader. No, it certainly wasn't that. So I said, well, Why did you choose me then? With all those children, why did you choose me? Well, he said it was kind of like this. We walked into the room and there were all the children. They were playing, they were having fun, they were running around talking to each other. They had toys, it was great. And then we saw in the corner was this pathetic, miserable, lonely looking child. And we thought, if we don't take him, no one will. The sympathy vote works well. That's the love of parents. Well, before you laugh at me too much, I'll tell you what the Bible says about God choosing you. He says this, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many were of noble birth, but God chose." This is what he chose in you. "The foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." You are chosen like I was chosen, not because you've got it all together, but because you need God. And he chose you to help, so that we can love him, serve him, and worship him. And it's out of that choosing that we don't feel judged, we don't feel condemned, we don't feel unworthy, we feel loved by a God who saw how foolish, weak, and unwise we are, and yet chose us anyway. And from that, we come to a place of worship, chosen and worshiping him. But worship and following him in any way, but worship and praising of God actually causes us to make a judgment. We are judging God when we worship him. You don't just worship anything, do you? You don't go up to a stranger in the street and say, "Oh, I worship you. I don't know who you are." First of all, you make a judgment. That person is worthy of my worship. Then you worship them. So when we come to God in worship, what we're actually saying is, "Lord, I recognize your great love, your power, your authority, your greatness. Lord, I just want to worship you." You make that choice to worship him. And it's one we should all make, to truly worship the God of gods, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. So we're going to be looking at the idea of worship this morning. I don't know why I press this. It never works for me. There we are. I think it will now. Yes, amazing what happens when you turn it on. There we go. We'll be looking at three questions about worship. What is worship? Why should we even worship? And how can we worship? How can we worship him? So first of all then, what is worship? What do we mean by worship? Well, the word we use is an old English word which simply means worship. He's worthy of our worship. Someone that we worship with our whole heart, he's worthy of it. There's no one more worthy of worship than our Lord. So we come to worship him. That's what we do, to give him worth, to demonstrate how precious he is to each one of us. Worship should indeed be a natural response. I read this from William Temple. He said these words, "Worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination with the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God, and to devote the will to the purpose of God." So we choose to come and worship him. Worship then is opening up to him and giving him his worth, to tell him how great and wonderful and how much we love him. And Romans 12, and you quoted this as well, thank you, we're working well together. Anyone would think we're listening to the same spirit. Oh, wonderful. Great how this all works. And Romans 12 says this, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." So worship isn't just about coming to church and worshipping God. That's what we do corporately. We come together, and instead of worshipping at home, we come and join others, and we worship God together, and led wonderfully by our worship group. But worship is more than sung worship. Every part of our worship on a Sunday is worship, whether we're worshiping in prayer, in scripture reading, in fellowship, talking to one another, loving one another, worshiping around fellowship with a cup of coffee in our hand, whatever it may be, every act is part of our worship. But it's not just church. According to this, it's our whole life. Every moment of our life should be an act of worship to God by the way we live, by the way we show who God really is. Tozer said this, worship is also living. Worship is also living. So worship is something we give to God because he's worthy. He deserves it. He loves us. He chose us when we were not worthy. And we can come to him who is and to thank him, praise him, celebrate, bow down before him. So the next question then is, so why? That's what it is, but why should we come and worship? Well, often, of course, when we come and worship together, we can feel a sense of blessing and power, and we come away from the service thinking, that was wonderful, I really feel great. But worship is about making God feel great. And because God feels great, we feel great. When Rose is happy, I'm happy. Or as the Americans say, if mother ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. If God is happy, I'm happy. If it pleases God, it pleases me. So we've come to worship him. Of course, we'll be blessed too. But it's more than that, isn't it? Richard Foster, a theologian, said this, worship is our response to the overtures of love from the heart of the Father. I thought that was lovely. Worship is our response to the overtures of love from the heart of the Father. That's why we worship, in response to the overtures of love from the heart of the Father. We read to us wonderfully Psalm 47. And Psalm 47 has some wonderful reasons for worshiping God. First of all, it says he's awesome and majestic. We worship a God who is awesome and majestic. Why would not we worship someone who's awesome, who's majestic, all-powerful? We worship a God who lifts us up, exalts us. He takes down the nations and we worship him. We worship a God who's king of all the earth. There are many kings, many rulers, many people in this earth who feel they have power, but he is the King of kings, Lord of lords, God of gods, and all in all. So we worship him. And finally, we worship him because he rules and he reigns. Four good reasons, very good reasons why we should come and worship the living God who's all powerful, who's all wonderful and all gracious and who loves us. So then it brings us to the question, how can we worship? How can we worship? Well, the first thing to say is, how can you worship? First answer is, any way you like. As long as you worship him, it doesn't really matter. Do you know something wonderful? There's no right or wrong way to worship God. There really isn't. You don't have to worry, you know, whether I should say these words or those words, whether I should act in this way or that way. If I'm in church, should I do this or that or that or stand or sit? It doesn't matter. I think someone said that this morning, didn't you? Whatever you do. The main thing is just worship him. It doesn't matter too much how we worship him. But it matters perhaps when we worship him a little bit. You see, we should worship him no matter how we feel. It's easy to come to church and worship him with everyone else. It's great to worship God when we've had a great day. But how about when we've had an awful day? Look at Hebrews 13:15. It says this, you know it well. It's probably been quoted already. Most of the other scriptures have. Through Jesus Christ, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice of praise. What's a sacrifice? It's doing something that costs us. Doing something we don't really want to do. That's a sacrifice. After this, we'll go into the back hall and some lovely person will give me a cup of coffee. And I'll drink that coffee. That won't be a sacrifice to me whatsoever. That's fine, because I like to drink a cup of coffee. But there might be other things I have to do that I don't like to do. That's a sacrifice. So we praise God, not because, well, it's really great and I just want to praise God today. We praise God, we worship him, because we really just don't feel like it. But he's worthy anyway. He's great anyway. Paul talked about Meg. It's not just you she loves. I had her hairs all over me. Which I had to explain a lot to Rosie when I went home, covered in hair. But I'm sure that this is hard for you to take in. But I'm probably right in saying that Meg, as much as you love her, isn't always good. I know, I've had a dog. But does that stop you loving her and thinking what a wonderful... No, of course it doesn't. Worshipping God is not because he does something. Listen, he's already done it. He's saved you. You have an eternity with him to look forward to. Your sins are forgiven. The price is paid. Why not worship him? Well, because I've had a bad day. You know what? It wasn't the best day on the cross. But he paid the price. We worship him. Whatever we feel like. Sacrifice something that costs us. Psalm 34 says this. I will bless the Lord occasionally. His praise shall sometimes be in my mouth when I feel like it. Now, that's not what it says. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Something that we know and love, that it should be continually in our mouth. Worship him at all times. So worship is something that we give to him always. Two words I just want to mention, because I want to. First, this thing's gone. Yeah, we are. You have this problem as well, don't you? I'm glad it's not just me. Worship. Worship is a word we kind of use to, as an overall word for coming and giving thanks to God. But I like to use two words, worship and praise. They're interchangeable, of course they are. And perhaps I'm just being a little bit pedantic. But to me, worship is honouring God, coming and worshipping him. Psalm 96 says this, verse 9, worship the Lord, someone's mentioned already, in the splendour of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. That's honouring him, coming before him, trembling before him. Another word, the other word we use, of course, is praise. Very opposite. It says about praise, which is about thanking him. It's a celebration. Psalm 150, the great praise psalm, says this. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. And the word there literally means to shine, to boast. And actually one translation says to act madly. Now I can do that. You know, I can... Madly is not a problem. I can do that. So we have worshipping, falling, bowing down, honouring him, trembling before him, or praising, lifting his eye high, exuberant, giving him all the celebration that he deserves. And there are many ways, of course, we can do that. And as I said earlier, there's no right or wrong way. But I just felt, as I was getting this talk together, just to run through some of the ways we can worship and praise him that the Bible helps us with. Now, you don't have to do all of these. Perhaps you don't want to do any of them. They're guidance from the Bible. We can do them. And some of you, maybe, who are newer to the church, wonder what we get up to. And you may find some of our worship styles somewhat different. But I want to gradually open up from Scripture that there's so many ways we can worship. We don't have to do all of them, but they're there, they're available. So let's look at some of these, shall we? Lifting up hands, of course, we so often love to lift up our hands. But why do we do that? Well, let me try something here. If you are sitting in this church, please put up your hand. Thank you, you can put it down again. What have I done? Well, that was an act of identification. You're here, so you put up your hand. So we identify with God when I put up my hand in worship. Lord, that's me. I want to worship you. These words that I'm singing or reading or hearing, yes, that's me, Lord. I identify with those words. I identify with the fact that you are great, you are powerful, and Lord, I just want to identify with that. The other way, of course, I when I was a child, it was, I'm dating myself here, it was in a time when cowboys and Indians were the big thing. And so we went to, you know, see cowboys and Indians. And what would they do? They'd stick them up. I didn't know what I was sticking up, but I stuck up quite a lot. Particularly when I was playing with my friends who had sticks and told me to stick up. So I stuck up. What are we doing? We're surrendering. That's what they're doing. We know the power of the gun, so we surrender and say, yes, whatever you say, I'll do it. Don't worry. You know, I'm yours right now. That's worship. Lord, I surrender to you. Not because you've got a gun, not because you're about to treat me in some awful way. But I just surrender. I lift up my hands and say, Lord, whatever, I surrender. I'm open to you. So we can lift our hands in many ways. There's also kneeling. And I mix these up on purpose because we can be exuberant or we can be quiet. We kneel. Psalm 95 says, come, let us worship, let us bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. We spoke about lifting hands. I forgot to read the scripture to you. They're up there. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Praise the Lord. And I want men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands. So we have scriptures. Kneeling. Come, let us kneel before the Lord our God. In Ephesians, it's not just in Psalms. In Ephesians, we read these words. For this cause, I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then there are times, it happened this morning, when we clap. The Bible tells us, clap your hands, some of the people. All you people, clap your hands, all you people. So again, why do we normally clap hands? Well, it might be to welcome someone important. You know, quite often we see people introduced to the stage. And they say, I now introduce our great person, the person who's most familiar to the whole world, come up, Paul Davis, and everyone's, whoa! We clap our hands to celebrate someone important. I think God falls in that thing. We also clap our hands in appreciation when someone said something or done something that's really wonderful. We clap our hands. The fact I haven't heard any yet means I'm talking a load of nonsense, but never mind. We clap our hands, don't we, when people say something important. These are just scriptures to help us. Another one, too, that we love is dancing. You don't have to do it like that, by the way. Dead dancing is allowed, but not necessary. We can dance before the Lord, or as we used to call it, the holy hop. Whatever you do, must be careful here. Psalm 149, let them praise his name with dancing. It's that celebration. Remember, praise is that exuberation. We can praise him with shouting. Psalm 98 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. We do it, of course, regularly here with singing. Psalm 98, sing to the Lord a new song. Now, I said about doing it in good times and bad times. Jesus had the Last Supper with his disciples. He was about to go to the cross and die on the cross. Just finished a meal, going to the Mount of Olives, and it says this, when they had sung a hymn, they went out. Even in that desperate moment, when Christ could see the cross ahead of him, they sung a hymn. Singing can be wonderful, it can be challenging. When Paul and Silas were in prison in Acts 16:25, what did they do? It says they were praying and singing hymns to God. So we can sing hymns and rejoice even in our difficult moments. Of course, we can do it using musical instruments, can't we? Psalm 98 says, sing to the Lord with harp and the sound of trumpets and the sound of horn. Well, we don't have those, but we have keyboards and guitars and other things that we can give him praise and celebrate and worship him. Another way we can do is a wave offering. In Exodus, we read there was a time when they were dedicating the priests and they were bringing offerings to God. And it says, put all these in the hands of Aaron and his sons and have them wave them before God. Why? I haven't a clue, but it's in the Bible. I don't need a reason. It's right there. And I sometimes just love to just wave to God. I'm not waving to him. Oh. But I'm waving my hands. It's an act of offering, because that's what they were doing. They were offering to God. So, Lord, I'm offering my life to you afresh. Now, some of this may seem quite ordinary. Some of it may not seem quite so ordinary. God had to deal with me. I was at a conference of people I knew, and they were all getting wonderfully worshipped. This was many years ago, back in the 70s. And they were really worshipping God. And I was stood there kind of worshipping God. I will praise the Lord. I'm not going to tell my mouth, but I'm going to praise the Lord. My face won't show it, but I'm going to praise. I was into worship, but I just didn't know the liberty. And then God embarrassed me. And suddenly I realized it's great to praise him. I just, you know, God did it, and that was wonderful. So we can do that. But we can also, of course, worship him just being still. Being still. You might say, I'm not exuberant. I don't want to dance. That's fine. You can be still. Matthew, again, with Jesus, going a little further, he fell to his face in the ground. Jesus fell before his Father at the most crucial point in his life. Abraham fell face down before God. Moses and Aaron fell face down before God. Joshua fell face down before God. And I reckon if they fell face down and worship God, I can do that too. But look at Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2 verse 20. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Lamentations, let them sit alone and keep silent, because God has laid it on them. But in closing, well, the main thing, as I said right at the beginning, is just to do it. We're here to worship God, no matter how. And we worship him together. Ephesians says, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Colossians talks about dwelling together, admonishing one another with wisdom in psalms, hymns, and songs. 1 Corinthians encourages us to have a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. C.S. Lewis put it this way: it is in the process of being worshipped that God communes his presence to us. As we worship him, we sense his presence must be done. And before any of you think of it, 1 Corinthians says everything should be done in a fitting and ordinary way. Fitting according to the scriptures we just read. Ordinary to God and should be to us. The most important thing is that we do it. We've heard the scripture already this morning that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Comes from our heart, spirit and in truth. So as we leave this place in a little while, let us go into the world, into our everyday, into the week ahead, determined to worship him. Worship him in the way we live. Worship him in the way that we speak to him. We kneel before him, we dance before him, we shout, we're quiet, whatever it is. When we come together, feel free. You say, it's embarrassing. Well, start quietly, you know, have your hand down there, it doesn't matter. Do a little jig, that's fine. Shout quietly. It doesn't matter. The main thing is we're here to worship him. And I want to encourage you that when we come corporately, to come and join everyone else in worshiping, but worshiping in your heart, at all times, in your homes, in your everyday life, that we come to worship him. Let's just pray. Father, we just want to thank you that you bless us by way of allowing us to bless you, to worship you. To worship you when we're happy and glad and things are going well, to sing songs of praise and celebration, to bow the knee in honor and adoration. But you also give us that privilege of doing it when things are difficult, when we can't understand what you're doing, when the world doesn't make sense, when all seems lost, when hope is running out, that then we can worship you too, that we can bow the knee before a living God, to tremble before him, and that we can celebrate the God who at that time might be absent in our life, might seem absent, you never are, but it might seem a moment when we can't see you, but we praise you anyway because we know it's true. So, Father, send us from this place with a new revelation of what it means to come before you in praise and worship, to celebrate and to honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.